It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Yabba-dabba-doo! Simpson, Homer Simpson, he's the greatest guy in history. From the town of Springfield, he's about to hit a chestnut tree.
Yeah, I got it. Bowl fatigue syndrome. It finally happened this week. After watching night after night of college football games, I finally hit my maximum Wednesday night. I'm officially bowled over. My eyeballs finally reached the point where I couldn't stand another 3.5 hour football game. And especially I became weary of those 3 to 4 minute commercial breaks, which make many games almost unwatchable. Yes, I'm talking to you, ESPN. After my bowl-a-thon, with at least one bowl game per day starting on Friday, December 16th, I'm just unable to keep up the pace. The college football playoffs, the two really important games, are coming up on television this weekend. Yikes, I better get ready. I'm hoping that my current bowl bloat condition will heal by then. You know how good it feels when you sit down with that bowl of ice cream after dinner in the summertime? You know, like once a week is excellent, but twice a week is sneaky good too. Well, much like eating that bowl of your favorite vanilla with chocolate chips ice cream every night after dinner for 2 straight weeks, my ability to watch college football bowl games finally reached a saturation point. My 2-week holiday football watching festival has caused a few unwanted pounds to reappear also at the end of this year. So much for that 2022 diet goal of losing the 10 pounds. Though I would love to blame ESPN for my added tubbiness, it's all on me. Literally all on me. As the final week of 2022 draws to an end, I have concerns that my appetite to watch any type of college bowl game may be waning right now. I felt a little uneasy following the Wednesday night fantastic finish of the Liberty Bowl featuring Arkansas and Kansas. In case you didn't watch that game, it was fantastic. And I like both of the teams and wanted to see this game continue and play as many overtimes as possible. Arkansas won 55-53 in the third overtime. Bowl game number 23 of the 41-game bowl season had just ended on Wednesday night. Then at 8 p.m., Texas Tech and Ole Miss kicked off the Texas Bowl nightcap game. I'd been looking forward to a pinball type of high-scoring festival between these two fast-paced teams. Except for one thing. I hit that proverbial bowl-watching wall on Wednesday night. My eyes and brains were completely bowled over. Yes, I had developed a case of bowl fatigue syndrome. Bowl season has simply been too much of a good thing, unless you're busy working selling advertising for Disney's ESPN and ABC media outlets. Before the ESPN and ABC groups bought the rights to televise 38 of the 41 bowl games, that's right, almost 93% of them, there were significantly fewer bowl games being played years ago. Like 20 years ago, in 2002, there were only 28 bowl games compared to 41 now. ESPN is responsible for creating and adding most of those additional bowl games. And I wonder how many Americans are now dealing with their own holiday case of bowl fatigue syndrome. For many years, there was an unwritten rule that your favorite college football team should only receive an invitation to play in a bowl game as a reward for a better-than-average season. Average meaning 6-6. That meant that your college football team must have a winning record on the date when the bowls are selecting their two participants. The limited number of college football bowl games made it quite possible that some good teams with 7 or more wins were still not invited to play in a bowl game. It was a case of good old supply and demand in those days. But thanks to ESPN, an expansion of the college football bowls neatly fills out that network's late December daily television schedule. So if you're stuck inside on a cold day or visiting relatives over the holidays, a live college football game certainly beats watching just about anything else which is on television on the holidays. Now with 41 bowl games in 2022, 82 college football teams are needed to play. Teams with a 6-6 record, mediocre, are still needed to play in a slate of bowl games. Back in the good old days, a 6-6 record might have caused your favorite college football coach to get fired. Today's version of bowl team supply and demand has now created a shortage of eligible teams. Rice University finished 5-7, but they were selected to play in this year's Lending Tree Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, due to the shortage of qualified 6-6 teams. Though going to a bowl game may sound like a lot of fun, the costs must be considered along with the revenue from each bowl's payout to the teams. Many universities lose money by sending their football teams and the related support groups to a growing number of non-New Year's Day bowl games. Here's an example. I'm a graduate of Louisiana Tech University, so let's use the Bulldogs as our imaginary example this year because we finished with a disappointing 3-9 record, so they're perfect to use for our fake bowl scenario. So here we go. Let's say that Louisiana Tech had been invited, now this is fake, so play along, to appear in the Hawaii Bowl game held in late December in lovely Honolulu. That sounds like a great trip, doesn't it? In addition to the game's location being thousands of air miles from Ruston, Louisiana, the school, as a condition of being invited, must agree to purchase a minimum number of tickets to the game at face value. That's because the bowl game itself has expenses which it must meet too. So in 2022, the Hawaii Bowl featured a total payout of $600,000 per team. So let's say that 5,000 tickets at $50 apiece must be guaranteed to be sold by Louisiana Tech. But sadly, only 3,000 Bulldogs fans purchased those tickets due to the high cost of traveling all the way to Hawaii to watch a game. So the school is going to take a loss on those 2,000 unsold tickets. That brings up to $100,000 in losses. Now, it's also quite conceivable that the cost of air transportation to Hawaii, lodging, food, and entertainment for a traveling party of, let's say, 400 people, the football team, the coaches, the football staff, the Band of Pride marching band, and several key university and athletic department staffers, of course, will easily ring up more than $500,000, or that remaining payout after you lost $100,000 on unsold tickets, in expenses over a multi-day stay in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. The school and or athletics department better make sure that they have some extra cash in that cookie jar in the event that significant cost overruns happen by playing in the postseason reward bowl game. Not to be forgotten is that most college head football coaches have a provision in their contract which calls for them to receive a significant bonus if the football team goes to a postseason bowl game. The school's athletic budget is on the hook for that expense too. University officials may not like the idea of, at best, breaking even financially with a televised bowl football game appearance. Some schools realize that getting 3.5 hours of national television exposure on ESPN could be quite beneficial to the school's athletics and academic recruiting, along with fundraising pitches to the school's alumni. Just picture a couple of those proud Louisiana Tech grads watching that Hawaii Bowl game from their home in Anchorage, Alaska. I can almost hear their shivering little fingers writing out an end-of-the-year check donation to the school's alumni group right now. The school's goal should be to spend every single dollar which they receive from the bowl appearance without exceeding that amount. Why? Because if there are any surplus funds remaining after the school's bowl game, that excess cash is not kept by the university. It's got to be sent back to the school's athletic conference, in their case, Conference USA for Louisiana Tech, and shared equally with the other CUSA schools. By appearing during ESPN's first 2 weeks, though, of the Bowl-a-rama, some universities have lost quite a bit of money this year by having their football team participate in these games. And by the way, these schools' athletic conferences do not help defray any losses the school incurs from a money-losing bowl appearance either. According to one source, the lowest bowl payout this year in 2022 was a measly $112,500 per school to play in the Bahamas Bowl. Yeah, that place. With such a small payout, did Miami of Ohio and UAB fly out there but then need to row a battalion of boats to get back home across the Atlantic because they ran out of money? Just kidding, of course. Montgomery, Alabama's Camellia Bowl featured a payout of just $150,000 per team. 6-6 Georgia Southern of the Sun Belt Conference and 6-6 University of Buffalo from the Mid-America Conference played a terrific game on television. It's quite possible, though, that both of those schools lost money by participating in the game for such a measly amount of money. Thankfully, the economic picture brightens once we now arrive at the peak of bowl season right now around New Year's Day. LSU will be playing in the Citrus Bowl on Monday, January 2nd. It'll be at 11 a.m. on ABC against Purdue. By the way, the Boilermakers offensive coordinator for the bowl game coming up is none other than Drew Brees, quarterback at the Saints. He's helping his alma mater at Purdue after the former coach of the school left for a job at Louisville recently. The Tigers and Boilermakers will each receive $4.1 million for playing in this game. LSU's famous Golden Band from Tigerland is traveling with the football team, and they'll perform at several venues too. LSU will be quite generous to the football players, the staff, and the band, and others, as they'll try to spend as much of that $4.1 million as they reasonably can this weekend in Central Florida, but not one dime more. LSU has no economic incentive to send back a significant-sized check to the SEC league offices for them to spread around among the other schools. And as we've recently discussed, ESPN has smartly capitalized on the concept of having at least one college football game per day in order to attract a bevy of holiday advertisers. Statistical measurements show that a matchup of a couple of these 6-6 college football teams will still bring in about 1 million viewers to watch any televised game. It also gives ESPN one more hour of commercials to sell.
Sell, sell, sell!
Now, trying to watch all 41 bowl games over nearly a 3-week span, it finally overwhelmed me this week. But fortunately, a trip to the doctor was unnecessary for my case of bowl fatigue syndrome. The prescription was to turn off the television and do a few more productive things with my eyes and my body. And after 36 hours of rehabilitation, I have to tell you, I'm feeling much better today. But look, the Tony the Tiger Bowl from El Paso is kicking off at 1 p.m. featuring UCLA against Pitt. Should I turn on the TV to watch? Though I remain in voluntary rehab for my cereal bowl addiction, this game might turn out to be great. Happy New Year. I'm Swamp Swami.